Hey folks, welcome to this week's podcast. It's Michael Shelley here. Our guest today is Sheree Homer. It's a very short interview. She's the author of a new book called Dig That Beat, Interviews with the Musicians at the Root of Rock and Roll. She is an author. She was listening to my program where I had the Cactus Blossoms on a couple weeks ago. And if you haven't watched the videos for that show, I highly recommend it. Go to YouTube and search for Cactus Blossoms WFMU. And there's a playlist. You can now watch all 7 songs. And we kind of have messed with the audio that is the soundtrack of the videos up on YouTube. So it's slightly different than what went over the air. It's we added a little reverb and a little compression, and it sounds, to me, it sounds as good as a record. It's just amazing. Really an amazing performance, still blowing my mind. Head to YouTube and watch those 7 Cactus Blossoms performances. Just search for WFMU Cactus Blossoms. Anyway, so Sheree Homer was listening to that, and she said, oh, if this guy likes Cactus Blossoms, he'll probably enjoy my book. And I did enjoy it. It's a bunch of shorter pieces about people, and like the best of these pieces, it's drawn mostly from interviews she did, firsthand interviews. So whenever somebody digs up these people and shines a light on them, we sort of want to shine a light on them. And the book is, you know, it has contemporary people and really, really old people who were just thought they were forgotten and thrilled to be interviewed. So it's just a short thing, and I think you'll enjoy it. I'm working on some stuff coming up, and I've got a few people I've been working on for ages, but just still finalizing it. So keep your eye on WFMU.org/Michael. And you'll see some good new interviews posted soon, I believe. All right, Sheree Homer here. Dig That Beat, interviews with musicians at the root of rock and roll. Here she is. Cherie Homer, welcome to WFMU. You've got a new book out called Dig That Beat, Interviews with Musicians at the Roots of Rock and Roll. And a lot of these are based on interviews you did for a magazine that you used to publish. Is that right?
Yeah, there was a magazine that I had out for a while, for 2 years, actually. It was called Rockabilly Review, and I wrote all the articles and did the publishing myself and all that, but then I quit it because it wasn't cost-effective, and I had all these interviews accumulated, and my mom and some friends had said, well, why don't you take all those interviews and write a book? So that's how my first book came to being, and that was in 2007. That was I got the contract for it, and then it came out in 2009.
One of the parts about the book that I liked the most was that the pieces were sometimes very short, just a couple of pages, maybe up to 10 pages at the most. So they were pretty easy to read and kind of fun, and they did tell the story generally of the whole artist's career. And one of the amazing things that happens over and over, especially to some of the rockabilly guys and some of the Sun guys, is this cycle of, you know, they made one or two or three or four singles. They tried it for a few years, and then they kind of retired. Then they got rediscovered, and then they sort of had a comeback. And it's kind of an interesting story that happened to a lot of the same guys. You know, they would work in the, like, I think more than one guy ended up working in the post office for their whole life.
Right. A lot of them ended up getting day jobs because the music business didn't end up being what they thought it would be. Like you said, they maybe had one or two singles out and not enough promotion, and it just kind of died in the water. So they ended up doing other things. Maybe they would play the clubs, you know, so they would have a musical outlet on the weekends, but on a full-time basis, no. But thankfully, Europe really brought rockabilly and all its artists back to the forefront in the late 70s. They started calling up people and saying, hey, you know, we love your music, come on over. So that's how a lot of that got going again. And thankfully, it continues to grow over there. They have so many festivals in Europe and reissue labels that put out great music. And they even have charts still, musical charts that, you know, like our Billboard, but their version. And they would have, you know, rockabilly from the 50s on those charts. So that's really cool that they're still doing that.
So when you contact these guys, is there some detective work that goes into finding them? And then how do they react usually once you find them?
Sometimes. I mean, thankfully, I've been in the business for like 12, 13 years, so I know a lot of people. And so usually if I call someone, they'll direct me to another. You know, they'll say, oh, did you contact so-and-so? You should talk to so-and-so or whatever. And then they'll give me their phone number if they have it, or send me in the direction of, you know, that. And the internet is certainly helpful because a lot of these guys are on the internet, you know, like on Facebook, or you do a Google search and you can find their phone number even in the phone book, which is amazing because some of those guys aren't very well known. I include a lot of people that have had hits, but then I include a lot of people that are obscure that have never had a hit. So the ones that have never had a hit, they don't care if they're in the phone book. You know, they like to be contacted by the fans. I mean, they probably all do to an extent, but you know, especially the ones that never had a hit. But anyway, sometimes I have a problem, so I'll call like a musicians union, like with Buck Owens' drummer Willie Cantu that I spoke to. I couldn't find him on the internet, and I thought, oh, I'm going to try the Nashville Musicians Union. So I called them and I said, I'm writing a book. I was wondering if you had contact info for Willie Cantu. They did. He was in the directory. They gave it to me, and so I took it from there. I called him up, and I think I had to leave a message and say what I wanted, and he called me back and gave me a lot of great stories. So musicians unions have definitely been helpful. Los Angeles, Nashville, Shreveport, I've contacted all of them for my other books as well, and they've gotten me phone numbers that I needed.
Yeah, good for you for your tenacity for going after these folks. Do you ever reach anybody who says no, thank you, or somebody who's bitter or just not interested?
Yeah, I mean, there's been times where I've called people and they don't return my phone calls. You know, like I'll call and say what I'm doing and they don't return a call. They're not interested, obviously, that way. Or I usually give them like two or three shots, and after the third shot, I say, forget it. And then I've had a lot of people say, oh, well, I can't tell you that story. I'm saving it for my book. You have no idea how many times I've heard that. And it ends up 9 times out of 10, you don't even see that book. It never happens. So
of
I'm like,
course.
Okay,
yeah, that's
whatever.
That's kind of funny. They're still keeping the dream alive. So, Cherie, in this book, Dig That Beat, is there one fact that got revealed or one story that is your favorite?
Yeah, I have a story about Dale Hawkins that's my favorite. I'll tell the listeners that one. quickly because it's kind of a lengthy one. But Alan Harris was his piano player in the area of Shreveport, Bossier City. And his car had broken down. He needed to get back to Monroe, Louisiana. And so he was out hitchhiking. And Dale Hawkins stopped in his MG3 convertible and said, "Hey, Alan, what's going on?" He says, "Oh, Dale, I need a ride to Monroe." So he says, "Oh, hop in. I'll give you a ride." Well, on the way there, which was a couple hours, Dale had convinced him to go with him to the American Bandstand performance he was about to do, play on Alan Freed, and then go to Chicago for recording. So they're on their way to the East Coast, and Dale was driving, and he got a little sleepy, and he says, "Hey, Alan, you want to drive?" And so Alan started driving. And before you know it, then Alan got tired, and he says, "Oh, Dale, I think I got to have a nap." He says, "No, here, man, take one of these." And they were popping bennies. That was a big thing back then. So he took one of those, and he says, "Oh, I could have driven to China then." But anyway, they're driving through, and they're going fast, speeding, and the cop pulls them over in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And Alan Harris was driving. He says, "License and registration." And so he says, "Okay." And he gives it to him. He says, "Whose car is this?" He says, "Oh, this is Dale Hawkins." And Dale's sitting right next to him in the passenger seat. So he says, "Wake him up." So he nudges Dale, and Dale's kind of got to get his bearings. And he says, what, you know, and the cop says to him, "You Dale Hawkins?" He says, yeah, sir, I am." He says, "The Dale Hawkins, the one who sings Susie Q?" And he says, "Yeah, that's me." He says, "Well, follow me to the police station." So they thought they were in trouble. Either they're going to get thrown in jail or get a ticket or maybe both. So they go to follow him to the jail, and the cop gets out, and he says, "Bring in your guitar." So Dale brings in his guitar, and he had to play him Susie Q. But as soon as he did, they got off the hook and were on their way. So I love that story. I think that's like the coolest thing ever, that all he had to do was play Susie Q and, you know, he got off the hook. But it was funny to me because how did the cop know for sure that was Dale Hawkins? I mean, anybody could go in and sing Susie Q.
Well, the book is full of fun stories like that. It's called Dig That Beat, Interviews with Musicians at the Roots of Rock and Roll. And Sheree Homer, thank you for joining us this morning. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike. And I wanted to tell people where they could get it, if you don't mind.
Please do.
Okay, Amazon has it. If you go to your local Barnes & Noble and also Barnes & Noble online, they can order it. And then McFarlandBooks.com. That's McFarlandBooks.com.
And I'll put a link on the playlist for today's program. Thanks for joining us. Let's hear some Dale Hawkins right now.
Say that you'll be true. We'll say that you'll be true.